Today is the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, at Mass today we have commemoration of St. John Albert and also St. Nabor and Felix Martyrs. I would ask your prayers in a special way for Jerry McCullen. Some of you may know him from the past, an elderly gentleman. He used to drive the short car, the smart car. He's in his last days. But things worked out wonderfully yesterday that I was able to bring him the last sacraments. He's in Smithfield, so I'd ask your prayers, and if you would have an opportunity to make a brief visit to say some prayers with him, I think that would be much appreciated. I can give you some details. And he has really, as far as I can see, days rather than weeks to live, but he was able to receive all the sacraments yesterday. So, whole series of circumstances, but to be grateful for that. A week or so ago, there was an event that got a lot of attention. That was the consecration of bishops in a colony in Switzerland. I did speak to you about that in late May. If you have questions, you're welcome to ask me. I'll be happy to answer all that I can. But amid all of the discussion, I really would urge everyone to do something that is positive for the whole life of the church. And that is to pray for the conversion of Pseudo Leo. What is this pointed out is that whatever might be the state of his own soul, the religion that he professes is not the Catholic religion. And yet if he would profess the Catholic religion, and if he turned to that, which seems to be by the date of the baptism, if he were to do that, it would accomplish a great good, probably a persecution, but also a very great good. And it's one thing for us to analyze and complain, it's another thing for us to pray for that. So very practically, urge you to take on a novena. If you start today, I would recommend to pray the Magnificat, Our Lady's Canticle. Don't have that at hand, one extra decade of the rosary. Start today and they go for the whole week and then the Monday after next Sunday to pray for his conversion. And we leave it to God how and when we ask for something that is good for his soul and for the church at large. Going beyond that, we also recommend to you to have masses offered for this intention. The mass is the greatest of all prayers. And so just to request a mass, at least from time to time, and not just for the novena. And I'm suggesting a novena, not that that should be the end of our prayers, but our human nature is such that we should concentrate and get something done. And then as far as the masses over the coming weeks and months and so on, just one caution on that, if you ask a priest and you say, I'd like a mass offered for the conversion of Pseudo Leo, and if the priest comes back and says, oh, he's the Pope, that's not the priest to ask. And there's a lot to the topic, but it's not the priest to ask. So I encourage you on that. Schedule-wise, we are going to have another early Mass in 2 weeks. It's a bit of a scramble for the flights during the summer. We should be grateful that we do have what we do, and a little delays, but nothing significant. The epistle appointed to be read for today's Mass is taken from that of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, I speak a human thing because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members to serve uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, so now yield your members to serve justice unto sanctification. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from justice. What fruit, therefore, had you then in those things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of them is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit under sanctification and the end life everlasting. For the wages of sin is death, but the grace of God, life everlasting, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel and take from that according to St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, Beware of false prophets who come to you in the clothing of sheep, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. By their fruits you shall know them. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, and the evil tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can an evil tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit shall be cut down and shall be cast into the fire. Wherefore, by the fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father who is in heaven, he shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And by the words of the Holy Gospel, may our sins be blotted out. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but if he that doth the will of my Father who is in heaven, he shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, in today's gospel, in the passage of today's gospel, our Lord gives us a practical standard by which to evaluate people. The term judgment can be used with this, and sacred scripture usually means condemnation, rather to evaluate. And we might look at an example that's maybe closer to our own experience, and that is if you go fishing, and maybe at a fishing pier, or we have something on our tackle box, and there is a particular fish that's in season, but there's a minimum size to keep it. And we might be concerned, well, am I going to confuse one species with another? So what do we have? Well, we have a silhouette of the fish with the various fins and so on by which to identify it, and then the length. And so if we catch one, we bring it in, and we hold it up to the silhouette, whether it's on the pier or on a tackle box or whatever, and if it's the fins match and the size matches, it's a keeper. If it's not, we throw it back. And so there is a spiritual equivalent to this that we might consider, which is to take our Lord's admonition and then to put that together with his other teachings in different parts of the gospel and say, well, what would be three things by which we could evaluate ourselves and someone else as far as being a tree that brings forth good fruit, as far as being a keeper fish? And these three are, first of all, zeal for the love of God, secondly, zeal for the love of our neighbor, and the third is the humility of admitting fault and being willing to take advice. So first of all, the zeal for the love of God means making the effort for faith, of course. The Lord insists so much on faith and prayer, and the things of the worship of God, making that effort and that priority in our life. So that's the starting point. But it doesn't stop there. The second is the love of our neighbor. St. John says that if we do not love our neighbor whom we can see, how can we say that we love God whom we do not see? And so what does that mean? Well, it means the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. So the needs of our neighbor's body and soul, and especially to seek his spiritual good rather than trying to take advantage of our neighbor. So there's a whole range there. You can say it's the fourth through the tenth commandments are all involved there. Nevertheless, it's that zeal. It doesn't mean that one has to be perfect, but is there a priority? Do we give this a priority in our lives? And if we are looking at someone else, does that person give it a priority in his life or in her life? And that's a key, a very key basis of evaluation. And the third is the willingness, and humility, first of all, to admit one's fault. So what is our Lord's complaint against the Pharisees? They would find fault with everyone else, but they say, oh, I'm so good. rather be merciful to me, O Lord, a poor sinner. And the second is a willingness to seek and heed advice. Now, sometimes we can deceive ourselves and say, well, I had talked to people that it was to get information, and I'm going to make all my own decisions. Well, ultimately, we do have to take responsibility for our decisions. But are we willing to seek advice as to what is wise and what is not, and to ask of another? So he who is his own counselor is the disciple of a fool. So we have those three, and it's like it's the outline of the fish in a particular person or situation, and again, we start with ourselves. There's someone who does one but not the other. So perhaps very energetic to help neighbors, but what does it matter what you believe, you just have to be a nice person. Or if there's someone who's very, very adamant about the things of the faith, and then is nasty to his neighbor. Or we can talk about it, anyone else, but if you bring it back to me, that's out of bounds. So some of these things show up more in the negative than in the positive. It's good, though, to have this standard before us in our dealings with others, in our evaluation of ourselves, and our own examination of conscience and striving to overcome those tendencies, sinful tendencies, and also for those who would be considering marriage, what should I be looking for? Not so much a pretty face or whatever handsomeness or something like that. What are the virtues to look for? And if we take those three categories, the zeal for the things of God, zeal for the love of neighbor, and the humility of being willing to admit fault and seek advice, that's the difference between what would be a sterile appearance and a depth of virtue that with God's grace can grow throughout life and be the foundation for a lifelong holy relationship. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.